Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Ray Kammer, Director, National Institute of Standards and Technology. Well, Ray, in the second section, let's talk about reinvention at NIST. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the creation of NIST, and I'm wondering how NIST has been able to meet the expectations that were set upon it.
You bet. First of all, let me say that NIST is the best measurement and standards laboratory in the world. And I'm not saying that just because I'm enthusiastic about the agency. What we've done is we've benchmarked ourselves against the rest of the world. We asked questions like, what does U.S. industry need now and in the future? Who's doing the best job on measuring this particular attribute in the world? If it's not us, what do we need to do to become the best in the world? The U.S. economy is the largest and most vibrant economy in the world, and they need the best measurements and standards in the world.
And NIST has a vital connection to many parts of our society. I wonder if you can tell us in a typical day how one might encounter NIST.
Let me limit my example to the automobile, because that's something I think everybody's pretty interested in and knows a lot about. First of all, the automobiles in the United States are now manufactured to a 2-millimeter tolerance. That's fit and finish between different pieces. Even tighter tolerances than that are necessary for the piston. And all of those measurements are traceable to NIST. In addition to that, there's chemical characterizations. The paint, the rubber, the glass, that all are traceable to measurements that are done by NIST. We also have supported, through the Advanced Technology Program, new technologies that have... I mentioned that the tolerances on the body were 2 millimeters. Well, 6 years ago, they were 9 millimeters. And you can tell the difference. Japanese cars were about 3 to 4 millimeters at that point. And U.S. industry made a proposal under a competitive competition, and we selected them to work on improving their tolerances. There were 65 separate attributes they needed to improve, and they did. They succeeded. And you can tell the difference when you touch the car now. In addition to that, how do you operate your car? Well, the gasoline's metered. That measurement's traceable to NIST. The composition of the fuel itself, the composition of the oil that's used for lubrication are all traceable to NIST. When you ride over the roadways were all characterized using concrete and macadam standards that we helped develop. And also just the earthquake resistance of the bridges that you go over are all designed according to specifications developed at NIST.
And information technology has continued to change our economy and society. How has the increased growth and focus of technology shaped the function and structure of NIST today?
It's changed everything. The internet is the most profound influence that I can think of, and it's happened all since 1990. It's just amazing. The way we share information. Most of what NIST does needs to be shared with the public in order to succeed. No standard's valuable unless people know about it and practice it. So we now have websites for everything we do. All of our publications appear online. We have a virtual library that people can access over the internet. Most of our handbooks and data are now published on the net. The way we operate has changed. We have now online forms. Mostly we communicate by email. The way we interact with our external customers, for instance, we've got the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award. Well, those criteria are online. Anybody can check them anytime they want. If you want to make a proposal to the Advanced Technology Program, you can get all the criteria off the internet at 2 o'clock in the morning if you'd like. We developed a Y2K toolkit, which we distributed through the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. There's about 400,000 small and medium-sized manufacturers out there, most of whom are struggling with competitiveness and technology issues. The way we share our results with our peer groups in the scientific community, we communicate with other national measurement and standards laboratories over something called MeasureNet, which we helped develop. We wrote the software for it. Anybody that wants to spend $5,000 or so on the equipment can then collaborate with us. We can share information. We can actually control each other's machinery from a distance, which can be very interesting.
And how has this increase in use of technology affected the employees of NIST and also the customers as well?
I think it's a tremendous increase in productivity, which is important, of course. It also extends our reach. We're the same size today that we were in 1954. And the economy has increased how many fold since then? Many, many, many times. It's also become more sophisticated and more complicated. The ability for us to rapidly reach our clientele, to have our clientele rapidly reach us, the ability to operate 24 hours a day, that's all conferred upon us by the internet. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And any customer pushback or feedback on these technology?
It all seems to be positive. We used to have a very frustrating problem with our calibrations. We will calibrate people's voltmeters if they send them in, and we give them a certificate that then allows them to demonstrate traceability to NIST. And there's often legal requirements to do that. We had a lot of customers that were unhappy because they felt it took too long. They didn't know where their voltmeter was and they wanted it back. We put the whole calibration system on the internet so you can track by your own personal number where you are. You can email the person that has them and ask how long it's going to be. Took all the uncertainty out of the system. It also provided a sense of feedback to the staff that was doing the work. And it went from really not being a good system, we didn't have happy customers, to a system now where we have very happy customers.
Wow, that sounds exciting. Now, you did mention the Malcolm Baldrige Award, and I don't think it's widely known that the award is housed and staffed by NIST. Can you tell us more about the award and why performance standards are becoming so important to business?
The award was assigned to us in 1987, and I will tell you that I was a skeptic. I was deputy director at that point, and the notion of the government somehow presuming to instruct the private sector in quality management did not seem reasonable to me. And in fact, the way we then approached it was we called together the best practitioners in the private sector, and we got them to help us develop the criteria. And to this day, we've revised the criteria every year. You don't have to be bad to get better. We're always trying to improve. We spend about $5 million of the government's money, the private sector participants with us. We have 250 people that do evaluations for us that donate their time. We estimate that the private sector donation to this program and operation of the program is about $100 million a year. And that's what really makes the program go, is all the volunteers from the private sector. There's about 2 million copies of the criteria distributed since 1988. You don't have to apply for the award to use the criteria. I actually use them in running the National Institute of Standards and Technology. There's about 60 quality programs internationally. And let me close by saying that if you had a stock portfolio of Malcolm Baldrige Quality Award winners that are individually traded, it outperformed the Standard & Poor Index last year by 5-1.
Ooh, that is exciting.
And the S&P Index did well last year.
Well, on that note, it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.